98 FM's Dublin Talks. Live. Weekday mornings from 10 with Adrian Kennedy.
Never miss a podcast. Just hit subscribe.
The Waiting Room on 98 FM with Benelin Day and Night Tablets. 24-hour cold and flu relief. Always read the label. Ask your pharmacist for advice.
Every Thursday at around about this time, we are joined on the programme by our resident GP, Dr. Sharon Delaney, for 98FM's Waiting Room. And we ask you to submit questions that you'd like me to put to our doctor on your behalf. And we've a lot of messages that have come in over the last couple of days, which I want to bring to you. And if you have a question that you'd like us to put to our doctor, if we don't get to it today, we will get to it next week. All you have to do is send a WhatsApp to 0877 98 98 98. Dr. Sharon Delaney, good morning.
Good morning, Adrian.
Now, a number of messages or questions, queries that I want to bring to you this week. The first one is, Adrian, I was listening to your show the other day about vegans. I've been a vegetarian, I assume, since I was 20. I have a one-year-old who is weaning at the moment, and I'm considering putting her on a vegetarian diet. Can Sharon give me some advice on any possible health implications? Is it recommended? And that's from a lady called Claire.
Claire, okay. I suppose at the end of the day, as long as the child is getting the energy, meeting their energy requirements, getting their macronutrients and their micronutrients, then for their normal growth and development, there's no strict contraindication to weaning onto a vegetarian diet. There are definitely some considerations to consider. So firstly, it can be hard to meet the requirements for certain nutrients like protein, iron, B12, calcium. So they need to be addressed specifically. It can be very challenging, to actually meet all these and make sure that the diet is actually including these.
Mm.
Another thing to consider would be in a primarily plant-based diet, you will get a lot of fiber and it tends to be low caloric density, and that in turn can make your child feel fuller more quickly, so they might not actually meet their calorie requirements for growth and development. I suppose another thing is, even though you could be meeting the requirements for, say, calcium or zinc, The number of phytates or fibre in the plant-based diet can actually interfere with the absorption. So the bioavailability of those can actually be affected, even though you're actually getting the correct amounts. And then I suppose the main thing that people think about would be things like protein and iron. So the issue mainly with the plant-based diet would be that protein, apart from soy, from plants, is generally incomplete, so it doesn't have all the essential amino acids. So that's something to consider. And then another thing would be iron. So plant iron tends to be the non-heme variety, which is less well absorbed, less readily absorbed compared to the heme iron that you'd get from meat. So look, it's not contraindicated. The fact that it's not generally recommended would be because it is very, very challenging. And for that reason, before embarking on it, it would be a good idea for Claire to speak to either her GP or a registered dietitian.
Okay, so it's not as simple as just putting the child on the same diet that that Claire is on. She needs
definitely
to put a lot of work into it. Okay, all right.
That's
thanks
it,
very much
yeah.
indeed. Now, next from Jason. Can you ask your doctor about an embarrassing problem that I'm dealing with? I have a sweat issue. I sweat profusely even when I'm doing nothing and even if it's cold. I haven't even gone to a doctor about this because I find it so embarrassing. It's been happening for a few years. Even the palms of my hands sweat. Is this treatable? Asks Jason.
Okay, so the good news is, yes, this is treatable. There are a good few different options. It sounds like Jason is describing a condition called primary focal hyperhidrosis. So it's rare enough. It affects about 1% to 5% of the population. The cause isn't known, but there is believed to be a strong genetic component. It generally starts before the age of 25. It can get worse in heat and emotional situations. The areas affected are generally the palms of the hands, the soles of the feet, also the armpits, the face, the scalp. The interesting thing is that it stops when you're asleep. So it's quite different to the generalized sweating that you would get with, say, an infection or menopause or thyroid problems or even some medications. So that tends to be all over and doesn't stop when you're asleep. So as I said, the good news is that there are a few different treatment options. So firstly, if Jason goes to see his GP, he can be prescribed a topical antiperspirant. So that would be first-line treatment. Second line would be Botox injections. So these are very, very effective at reducing the production of sweat. So either in the armpits, the hands, or the soles of the feet, or indeed the face. Other options that could be considered would be systemic medications. So they'd only be considered if the topical prescription antiperspirant or, say, the Botox wasn't effective or wasn't available. And then a final resort would be surgery. But again, that would be, you know, in very severe cases where there's no response to the other treatment.
But the bottom line is that this is something that is treatable and nothing to be embarrassed about going to see your GP about.
Absolutely not.
Okay, very good.
Definitely.
And finally, as a Christmas present, my husband brought home a Jack Russell Cross puppy. I already love the dog, but haven't stopped sneezing since the day she arrived. Is there anything I can do about what appears to be an allergy to our four-legged friend? We've had dogs in the past and this was never an issue before. We really want to keep the dog, but the sneezing and eye-watering is constant even when I'm nowhere near her. Please help.
Oh, that's a tough one.
Yeah,
so look, it's very possible to develop an allergy as you get older, so even in adulthood. And even if she's had dogs in the past, if she hasn't had a dog for a while, It's likely that she's going to get symptoms, or more likely that she can develop symptoms. We also know that different dogs, so even the same breed of dog, can have varying amounts of allergens. So the type of dog may be an issue. It sounds like there's a very clear-cut relationship there between the symptoms and getting the dog. There's a couple of things that your listener could try first. So I suppose, firstly, putting the dog outside. So not restricting the dog to one area of the house, because this isn't effective, because the dog allergen can remain in the air for extended periods of time and they can be carried on other particles. So that's why you can still get symptoms even when you're not standing near the dog. So firstly, put the dog out. Secondly, clean the house thoroughly to get rid of any dog dander that may be around the place. Vacuum regularly. You can use something like an air filter and get somebody to wash the dog about twice a week. So a third thing, it's not ideal, but she could take antihistamines, but you don't want to be taking them long term, just to manage having the dog. It might be no harm to get a skin prick test, so you can get that done with your GP, just to ensure that the symptoms are due to dog dander and not something else like the house dust mite or something. And if all that fails, then it may be necessary to consider rehousing the dog.
Yeah, which would be awful because it sounds like they really love the dog.
Yeah.
All right, Sharon. As always, I appreciate all your advice for our listeners, and any other messages that we get, we'll bring to you next week. Dr. Sharon Delaney, thank you very much indeed for joining us. And that's it from us for today. I'll see you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.
The Waiting Room on 98 FM with Benelin non-drowsy chatty coughs. Gets to work fast. Always read the label. 98 FM's Dublin Talks with Adrian Kennedy.